Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ask me anything. What exactly do the Garda Water Unit do? Former member Breen Brannock is with us here in studio today. Breen, you're back to answer listener questions. 087 1400 106 is the voice. That's the WhatsApp number for your voice notes, I should say. We have this question in from Sean.
What are the main responsibilities of the water unit on a day-to-day basis?
Well, similar to normal policing duties, we're involved in the protection of life and property, and we have a duty to the security of the state. We would also have a humanitarian role in the recovery and search and recovery of missing people, which was a big, big part of our job. So we would have patrol boats on the River Liffey. We would have patrol boats on the Shannon, all around the coast, small boats at that. But we would be involved in searches for, security searches when presidents come and the Queen comes.
Yeah, so it's not all search and rescue operations then. There's more to the job than...
Oh, much more, yeah.
Okay. We have another question in from Dylan.
What has been the most difficult situation that you faced on duty?
The most difficult is always when we're searching for children who are missing. And it's incredibly sad. And it affects everybody on the search. You would just have to kind of put it out of your mind. Mm. We don't get to know, we try not to get to know the names of people.
Would you tend not to even ask before you do that?
No, we wouldn't ask. We would have, there would be a Garda liaison officer appointed to the family of a missing person, and they would have the main contacts, and they try and avoid direct contact with ourselves. It does happen though that on prolonged searches, you will get to know the families, and it can be very difficult at times. You've got to stay impartial to do the job.
I'd imagine so. We've another question in for you from Anthony.
Hi, do you use sonar, drones or underwater cameras? Thanks.
Yes, we have a sonar which is mounted on a tripod. It's dropped into the water and it does a 360 scan. We also have no drones yet, but... we have underwater cameras. We have a handheld DSLR camera in a housing, which is used for close-ups of evidence. And we also have cameras on some of our diving helmets.
As part of this. And presumably there's probably a big sort of investigative piece, is there, before you might, take part in a dive in terms of reading maps or to know the area that you're diving into?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We would have to find out all the hazards that might be in, say, a river or a lake. Occasionally, if the river's in flood, they would present additional hazards. So you would have to get to know, is there a bridge or, in a canal, there would be the canal locks would have sluice gates. Mm. And if they are open, it presents a major hazard to a diver getting sucked into the lock and potentially trapped. So these are all checked out beforehand. The dive supervisor would be responsible for
looking
for
into
that.
All that. 087 1400 106 WhatsApp number for your questions and voice notes today. Listeners wondering, Breen, do you wear special wetsuits for this type of work?
We actually use a dry suit, which is made from a similar material to a wetsuit, but it has seals on the wrists, seals on the neck, and a full dry zip integrated boots. So it keeps you totally dry inside. You would wear a thermal lining underneath it, and depending on how cold it is, you might wear two or three layers of thermal lining, which...
For the actual dive?
For the dive,
I would have thought you'd have worn a wetsuit, but maybe the dry suit on the boat part.
No. A wetsuit would let water in, and you'll get a dive or two dives out of a wetsuit before the body starts getting quite cold. Mm. Whereas dry suits, you could tend to dive over and over again.
We have this question from Sarah.
Can you share a memorable rescue or operation?
There's too many.
Yeah, I know. And I know it's difficult because obviously the names and specifics of cases you can't, but...
I will say one of the most memorable for me was when President Clinton was in Ireland, and we would have searched at Dublin Castle, and underneath the castle there's the River Poddle, as most people would know, and we would have divers going up and down that underground section for security. And then he was down in Limerick, and we searched drains and sewers in Limerick right the way out to Adair Manor, where he stayed before going on for his golf.
So all of those sort of surrounding areas have to be searched.
Yeah, and people would think that it's quite dirty, but in fact, it's enjoyable because I have to stress, this is all teamwork.
Yeah. Funny you mention that. Listeners wondering, how many people would be in the water at any one time as part of the team, as part of a dive?
Okay, the minimum to put one man in the water would be a team of five. So you would have a supervisor, you would have a diver, you would have a standby diver, you would have a tender for each diver. And then you might have somebody driving a boat, you might have somebody on comms. So you could put one diver in.
Would one person only dive under at any one time into where the...
No. We could put four or five or six people in, but you'd need a much bigger team because, as I said, it's a team teamwork involved. Mm. And we would often have had 5 to 10 divers in the water. We have been involved in big sea searches with the Navy. And I remember on one dive, I think there was up to 20 divers on a line being towed between two trawlers. Searching down off the southeast coast. So you could have it all depends on the clarity of the water as well, you know.
Yeah. Okay. We have another question in from Lee.
How do you coordinate with other emergency services like the Irish Coast Guard or RNLI?
When we arrive on scene, we would probably have prior knowledge that the Coast Guard would be there or the RNLI. And while we work independently of them, we would often access their own boats and
kind of share resources,
And their buildings and that, and we're very grateful for that. We were out in Belmullet on a well known search there a few years ago when a helicopter went down, and we used the Coast Guard station there every day.
Yeah,
and the support we get from the other rescue units is fantastic.
Good stuff. Well, it's good to hear that there is such good cooperation like that. With this question for you from Stephanie.
Have you ever gotten into difficulty in the water when on duty?
Once. That I can remember, we had a search of a flooded river, and I was tending a diver. So I was on the surface of the water swimming along with a rope down to the diver, and I was guiding him, and the river was in flood, and I did not see a bridge up ahead. All I saw was a bit of debris that I thought I was going to swim through, and all of a sudden I got hit in the chest by the top of the bridge, and my feet got pulled underwater under the bridge. My diver got sucked through the bridge and spat out the other side. This was a long time ago before health and safety took
a different era.
But I thought I was a goner, and I managed to pull myself onto the bridge after much struggling, and that was the closest I ever came to.
Yeah, and your colleague
he was fine. He got out the other side, and when the line went loose, he realised there was something wrong, so he surfaced immediately and swam to the bank. But he was too far downriver to help me. But thankfully, it worked out okay.
All good.
It wouldn't happen now.
Listeners, when you watch underwater units doing searches in TVs or in movies, how true to life is it?
Not really true, because a lot of the searches in Irish waters can be quite dark and murky. I remember seeing something it was Miami Vice. So the water was crystal clear.
Like the Caribbean.
And they tend to find bodies very, very fast, where in reality it can take a long time.
Yeah. Listener wondering, how long can you actually spend underwater as part of a dive?
It depends on how much air you have, and it depends on the depth you go to. So most police diving is in shallow water, so we can spend quite a bit of time. Once an hour's passed, you start, even with a dry suit, you start getting cold.
And listener wondering, how do you and the team cope, after a traumatic day? Like, how do you forget what you maybe saw?
If we're away on jobs, we would always get together and have a talk and a beer, maybe. We've always been a close unit.
I imagine you have to be in something like that.
You have to be. Yeah. We have. You can have your arguments and that, but when we're on a job and doing a job, it's, as I said, it's teamwork, and everyone adopts the professional attitude to it. You know.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do miss the crack. I miss some of the jobs, but I've two kids. They're 9 and 11, and I like being home for them.
Yeah.
And I also fix wetsuits and dry suits now as a pastime, and I also do a bit of work on some of the film sets.
Yeah, as well. So you have a dive coming up too this weekend, isn't that right? Yes, on the show.
The Abbey Court in Nina is running, Dive Ireland is running a dive show, and if anyone wants to learn about diving or see any of the diving equipment or listen to some of the fantastic speakers, Chris Reynolds is going to be there. He was on News Talk there last week. He's an ex-Navy diver, and he'll be giving a talk. So it's well worth going down to try it out.
Breen Brannock, thanks a million for joining us here the programme today. Former member of the Garda Water Unit. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.